Today we have the opportunity to speak to Michael Tunnicliffe, a leading clinical psychologist who assists people in organisations to develop effective responses when confronted with stress, crisis and challenging situations. Michael is one of the leading experts in dealing with difficult behaviours, and we're honoured to have Michael with us today. Michael, welcome.
Hello there, Judy.
Michael, I'm wondering if we could just begin, if you could explain to people a little bit of how you've come to be in the field you're in and working in the area of difficult behaviours.
Well, it's one of the areas I work in that largely came from when I was in private practice, which was quite some years ago now, and I had a lot of clients come to me. And part of the problem while they were having difficulty, feeling very stressed, feeling very upset, when you actually start to look at it, it really came from having to deal with people in the course of their duties. And these were individuals who really found that other people's behaviour in terms of the way in which they spoke to them, the way in which they dealt with them, was quite intimidating. And they really came along because they were looking primarily for how to handle the stress. But what I found was that helping them to handle the behaviour was a really good avenue for teaching them how to handle the stress. And after putting a lot of material together, I finally developed into some workshops and manuals and courses and the like, and really found it was a really good area of practice.
Michael, in terms of my work and working with the people I do, the issue of dealing with difficult behaviour is probably one of the ones that comes up over and over again. Can you talk a little bit about why it is such an issue for people? What happens for people?
Well, I think there's really three reasons. Number one is that people generally do like to get on with other people. So whether at work or a social situation, they like to have good rapport, good conversation, good communication, and generally feel good about other people's company. When someone presents with a set of behaviours which people find very difficult to manage, it really spoils that first area. Mm. The second one I think is very important is many, many people are quite self-conscious about how they present to other people. And so if someone's giving you negative feedback and negative vibes and really isn't responding how you want them to respond to you, that can be pretty uncomfortable as well. I think the third reason sometimes is that often people just don't know what to say or what to do when someone engages in a set of behaviours which they just find difficult to manage. And so most people either almost go into that reactive stage of reacting to the behaviour rather than responding to it. And then, of course, that can escalate into a confrontation, a conflict, or even some kind of, verbal aggression. And so I really think that people often are having difficulty just judging how they should be dealing with people around them. And for that reason, people generally get stressed if the behaviour is not what they expect.
Michael, in your work, have you found that there are some similar characteristics that people are dealing with, similar behaviours that seem to come up a lot?
Yes, I have. I think that first and foremost, that people find that when they're dealing with someone who's unhappy about things, that person can be cynical, critical, sarcastic, and a lot of people tend to get hooked into that. And so one of the difficult behaviours is just that kind of sarcasm and criticism and negativity. And I think we all know someone who's, you know, you'll tell them something and they'll come back with a negative comment if it just doesn't fit with what they want. And I think it's a style of behaviour, almost like a habit that some people get into. And a second form of difficult behaviour is more the manipulative type behaviour. And manipulative behaviour is where people start to try to almost like twist the situation around to suit their purposes. We're all probably manipulative in some way or another. But when I talk about manipulative behaviour, I'm talking about really devaluing someone else and taking advantage of them. And a lot of people feel very, I suppose, put out when someone engages in that direction with them. And then, of course, the third type is purely the aggressive behaviour. And people act very aggressively sometimes, the way they talk, the body posture, the physical stance, the invading people's personal space, intimidatory gestures, all those sorts of things. So I think they're probably the three areas that people most feel uncomfortable about. And perhaps there's a fourth area, and the other one is more the passive type behaviour, the non-cooperative behaviour. It's not as though people are being critical, manipulative or aggressive. They just don't cooperate. It's a form of most passive aggression. So sometimes people will agree with you and say, yes, I'll help you, we'll do that, and then just don't. And that's another form of passive aggression, or just don't comply or just refuse to comment. And I think that disturbed a lot of people as well. So they would probably be the four general types of difficult behaviour that people would present with.
And I know when you're talking about passive behaviour that many people don't think of it in those terms, but I do remember people who have spoken, you know, in the relationships about issues of being punished with silence and how effective that is as a technique of control and manipulation and a very difficult behaviour to deal with.
I think what we have to remember is we are all passive at certain times. It's very rare the person who doesn't engage in some kind of passive resistance or even passive aggression at certain times. From little kids, well, we're not playing with them, we're not going to talk to them. I think people extend that into their adulthood. If you're unhappy with what someone does, you don't cooperate with them, you don't talk to them. Another form of passive aggression is when perhaps you go to a restaurant. We've all been to restaurants and there's something about the service of the meal we haven't been unhappy about. Very few people actually raise that issue and complain. What they tend to do is to pay the bill, leave, then say we're never going back there again, and then tell all their friends what a terrible restaurant it is, rather than feeding back that information to the restaurateur. So that's a form of passivity which many, many people engage in, which is really about perhaps I'll avoid getting into a potential confrontation because I don't know how that person's going to react to me. And that's a tough one. That's a really difficult one to overcome.
So when you're working with people or groups and running workshops, where do you begin? Where do you begin to look at some of the issues people bring up about difficult behaviours?
I like to really start at some of the basis of difficult behaviour in general and appreciate that some of it is based in personality. We do have clearly different personality types. And you do get some people who have a tendency towards aggressive, dominant personality styles, where there are other people who are fairly submissive, passive, almost retiring personality styles. And unfortunately, human nature being what it is, there are certain personality styles that try to take advantage or manipulate other personality styles. So you do find that some of the difficult behaviour is just a function of who are the personalities coming together. And I think we've all, at some time or another, have what we might call a personality clash with another person. It's pretty rare the person can actually say, I get on really well and enjoy the company of everyone I meet. To me, that's pretty unrealistic. Mm. There's lots and lots of people we get on well with and we enjoy their company, but they're going to be people that something about their personality that grates with us. And so I think that's a pretty fundamental basis of where this difficult behaviour comes from. And what prompts us to react to other people's behaviour, it's the basis of that behaviour is perhaps their personality. Another area, of course, is the, I suppose, the habituated learnings of an individual. What has a person learnt over time in terms of their interaction with other people? And some people have just learnt through perhaps parents, school, something in their socialised environment to get what you want by taking it. If people don't do what you want, you throw a temper tantrum and that gets things your way. And I think we've got a lot of adults who still have, I suppose, behavioural styles they learnt as children that got them what they want, so they engage in that at the present time.
And as long as that keeps working, you keep using it.
Yeah, look, if you get what you want from a temper tantrum, why ask nicely? Some people do that. It's spontaneous. The other one, of course, is the almost like the buzzword now, and I think it's been around for a long time, where we talk about emotional intelligence. In other words, what sort of social skills does the person have? And a lot of people think that social skills are purely learned things, but I think there's a little bit more basic than that. I think a lot of people have almost social styles or social skills that are perhaps part of what their own personal makeup. Maybe it's linked into the personality. Maybe it's a combination of a whole range of factors. But I think when we put this label on emotional intelligence, it's quite a valid one, because I think we've all met the person who just is simply maybe intellectually, in terms of academic intelligence, incredibly bright, incredibly capable, but their social skills are just very poor. And for a lot of those people, it just doesn't occur to them to act differently. And even when you feed it back, they will tend to brush that off as being not their issue. Like, it's your problem if you're not happy with my social skills. And I think that's probably another factor, the basic social skill set that some people have. And a lot of people have far better social skills and social techniques than others.
So the social skills, in a sense, relate to being able to be aware of other people and their needs?
Aware of yourself and how your behaviour impacts on other people. And then, of course, naturally being aware of other people's needs around you and accommodating that while accommodating your own needs is probably the balance that we have to get to function effectively.
Are there other ones in terms of when you're looking at from personality styles, learning techniques and emotional intelligence? Are there other areas that you talk about when you work with people?
Yeah, there could be quite often, because what another one that could crop up perhaps in the workplace is the role the person has. And I've observed over the years that there are a lot of people who alter their behaviours towards other people based upon their roles. And a lot of those roles are basically things that people have picked up, and you believe that if you're the boss, you should tell, not ask. And you know, there's probably some preset, I suppose, ideas that people have, which aren't always appropriate, but people don't question them. Also, another powerful one is people's beliefs and value systems. We do have a lot of people in our society who actually believe that they're far more important and far more valuable and far more worthwhile as a person than other people. And I suppose if that becomes a fundamental belief of yours, that you're more worthwhile and valuable than someone else, well then the next thing that follows from that, it's perfectly okay to humiliate, talk down to, and disparage that other person because it doesn't occur to you to be polite and respectful to them. So that beliefs and values is another factor that we'd have to consider and look at.
Just going back to roles, it's very interesting that many people talk about, particularly colleagues who have been promoted to a higher level above them, and how their behaviour towards them changes quite dramatically.
Yeah.
And that role brings with it a power that in some way changes the person's behaviour quite dramatically.
It's quite interesting. In the psychology area, we actually call that role attribution. And what it means is what are the behaviours that we attribute to that role? And I think there's been a lot of preset notions where many, many people feel that if you are put into the role of senior manager, supervisor, leading hand, or whatever it is in the workplace, that it's not okay to be friendly to people around you. You should now act in a way that stamps your role or stamps your mark. Now, there's no validity for that, I don't think, but it's just that, and of course, many people don't do it. Many people get promoted and respond very appropriately to that situation, but it's just that there are some people who, it's quite amazing, and I've observed this a couple of times myself, they really forget the human side of what they're doing and take on the attributes of the role, that what it means to them. And that can create a lot of difficult behaviour for other people, a lot of difficult behaviour.
And just as you said then, there is an assumption often that when you take upon a leadership role, you must become almost machine-like and separate yourself from other human beings, in a sense.
Yeah, I think that separation stuff's a good point, Judy. It's almost like you have to separate in a way that you behave towards the person very differently to how you behaved towards them before. Now, probably there's some validity in that to some degree, because if you have a group of workmates who all go out together, they're all in the same, say, level in the organisation, they go out together and have lots of drinks and have great fun together, and that's part of what they do as workmates, then one of those workmates becomes the leader of the group or a manager or a team leader or something, perhaps engaging in those exact same behaviours is no longer appropriate, because they do have some other responsibilities and do have some other, I suppose, roles that they do have to perform. So while it's appropriate to change in some ways, there are some people who, once again, don't read the appropriateness of the changes they actually make.
And in terms of values and beliefs, they're an extremely powerful thing in terms of people's behaviour.
I often say that if we use that word attitude, and that's a very important one that crops up when you talk about difficult behaviour, because I've often said to people, well, what was the person doing that you found hard to manage? And the response I get is, well, I just didn't like their attitude. And once more, attitude is a very broad, general term, and what it really means can be different from person to person.